Okay, well, here we go. Yeah, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's present here today. Whew, okay. I got a few things I want to share with you. The Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock this morning and said, I want you to share this today. And I said, okay. That's a good thing, you know. It's like, yes, Lord. See, no, Lord, doesn't fit together. Okay, it's an oxymoron. No, Lord. You never say that. He's, yes, Lord. So I got a few things I want to share with you. Here we go. Come, Holy Spirit. First, I want to say thank you for praying for me and helping me financially. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can't do the things that I'm involved with. I can't be involved with things I'm involved with without you. Okay, so thank you. You are part of what I am doing. Does that make sense? Okay. Remember when David went off to war and he said, hey, the guys who stay with the baggage get the same rewards as those who go out to war. All right, so next one, I need you. I just want to drive this home, so I made overheads for it. I need you. I need God and I need you, okay? So nothing moves forward in the kingdom of God without prayer. It just doesn't at all, okay? The kingdom of God is a kingdom that moves forward by and through and with prayer. So as we pray together and individually, we see the kingdom of God expand. All right, I just came from China myself, and we have several teams across China, and I'm watching over many of them. One of our teams, we just added 7 people to one of our teams, 7 new people. Came from Canada and America, Mexico, Norway. Yeah, that's about it. Those people came from those countries, and we put them right in with our team. So they're brand new in China, acquiring language, acquiring culture, so that they can share the gospel with the people around them. Okay, so it's going to be exciting. I was helping them with some of their adjustments. But those new 7 people that came into China to join that team are a result of your prayers, because we've been praying for more workers in the harvest field, right? We've been praying for more workers. There is a direct answer to your prayers. 7 more just added to one of our teams. Yeah. And that should help them with some of their church planting work and some of the new things that they want to be involved with. There's some really wonderful things happening in China. We're also seeing naturally, there's a lot of people that we need to be sharing with, sharing the gospel with them, sharing the good news, so that they can come into relationship with God. But also, we're seeing some of them that are in relationship with God are getting stirred up to tell others. And not only tell others in their hometowns or wherever they come to Jesus, but also to tell others in other countries. So that is the new movement in China. It's small right now, but it's going to be a giant wave where Chinese Christians are going to go overseas to be missionaries in other countries. Okay, so we're starting to see that, and I'm involved with a lot of the training that's going on for that. So I'll share some testimonies of some of the things that's been happening. Okay, all right. 7 new people. All right, so we need you. This comes out of Luke 10:2. Luke chapter 10, verse 2 says, hey, the harvest is plentiful, but there's not many workers out there. So Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into his harvest field. That's what Luke 10, chapter 2 says. So one of the movements going on in the United States and around the world, because I keep sharing it, is that at 10:02, if you're a night person, put it 10:02 at night. If you're a morning person, put it 10:02 in the morning on your smartphone, put an alarm at 10:02. And at that time, pray that Jesus would send more workers into his harvest field. It's a good reminder. And it doesn't take very long. Okay, let's try that. Here's the prayer. Jesus, send more workers into your harvest field. Let's pray that together. You ready? Go. Jesus, send more workers to your harvest field. You're not even sweating. Okay, it's not difficult. But every time we pray that, there's an impact in the spirit realm. And we're seeing more workers come. Those seven new ones that I placed in a team this last month are because of a result of prayer. Result of prayer. It's the only way we get more people. That's how we got to 70, 75 workers where I'm at, is we started praying that every day. Just started praying it. Pretty simple. It's funny. It's funny how something so simple can be so powerful. And that's kind of how the kingdom of God works. Many times we get it backwards in our mind. We think it's us. We think it's, I have to do this. Pray. God will do it. Okay? Okay. What do we got next? I got a verse here. This is the verse the Lord told me to share with you today. And then I've got a couple of things that I'm going to share with that. John 10:27. Everybody knows that, I'm sure. You're familiar with that? John 10:27 says, my sheep, and it's Jesus speaking. So he's talking about who he owns. He's actually, the sheep are the people, you know, that's us, you and me. We're his sheep. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. John 10:27. Okay, three things there that you see jump out of that. Number one, Jesus says, his sheep hear his voice. Okay, we can hear God's voice. We can hear him and follow him. We can hear him and understand him. We can understand him. So hearing his voice is one. He knows us. That's a good one. Okay, he knows all about us. He knows everything knowable. God knows everything knowable. And as we are spending time with him, we get to know what he is like. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Getting to know someone is spending time with them. So as we get to know God, we spend time with him, in relationship with him, and we come to understand his character. We come to understand what he wants. You know, the more that you get to know someone, the more you understand what they want, what they like, what drives them. If you don't know me and you come up and give me a bag of walnuts, say, Joe, here's some walnuts, okay, for you, just for you. Picked them off the ground, off the tree, got the walnuts for you. Well, you don't know me. I can't eat walnuts. But I would graciously say, oh, thank you so much for the walnuts. And because it's a gift, you know, and I'd receive it. But I'd give them to somebody else because I can't eat them. But if you know me, you know that my mouth swells up if I eat walnuts. Okay, so you wouldn't give me walnuts. Now, Jesus told us what he wants. See? He just wrote it down for us. He made it simple. I don't run around with a sign that says, don't give me walnuts. It make my mouth itch. Okay? Okay, I don't do that, so you'd have to ask me. But Jesus made it simple. He said, hey, I'll tell you what I want. You'll tell us what you want? Yes. I'll tell you what I really, really want. And he says, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. He wrote it down for us. So there's no guesswork. Well, what do you really want, Jesus? What do you want? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay. And that's what I did. Basically, what I do is pretty simple. I just travel around Asia and tell people about Jesus. It's pretty simple. And a lot of fun. Lots of things are happening. That's really cool. Okay, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now, this wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't like when he's ascending into heaven off of the Mount of Olives and all of his disciples are around there watching him. Wow, I haven't seen anybody fly before, but this is pretty cool. Okay, before planes, before helicopters, right? He's going up in the air. And Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But he didn't say, oh, hey, forgot to tell you, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What did he say? What did he say? No, it was his plan from the beginning for us to do that, to be involved, to partner with him in sharing the gospel with every creature on this planet. We're responsible for that. All right, next. Let's see what else we got up here. So today I got some principles for hungry hearts, okay? And I sense that you guys are hungry for God. Okay, so now there's maybe 40 or 50, maybe 60 principles that we can pull out of the scriptures, maybe more. Probably 365, one for every day of the year. How's that? Okay, there's a lot of principles we can pull out, but I'll just give you three today, and we'll just talk a little bit about that. Okay, is that all right? So principles for hungry hearts. You know, we can obtain a hungry heart and we can maintain a hungry heart. Okay, it's important for us to maintain our hungry hearts. So here we go. First one, worship. John 14, 23, 24. You got that one up there? I like this one. And this is Jesus again speaking. I like to quote Jesus, okay? I like to quote him. So he said again, that way you can't say, did you hear what Joe said? No, Jesus said it first. I'm just quoting him. All right, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is looking for people who worship him in spirit and truth. And God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. What does that mean? Worship him in spirit, worship him in truth. I think it generally means it's not obligatory. We don't have to worship him. Do you have to worship Jesus? No. But it's worshiping him from a willing heart. Just worshiping from our heart. Let's worship Jesus like we did today. But it's not only here on Sunday, but it's add some times during the week to worship him. I believe that God wanted to do some impartation today. So an impartation in Chinese, we say it's a chuan di. Okay, it's a chuan di. It's something you don't pay for. It's an impartation from God. You don't have to pay for this, but God's going to give some impartations today for the hungry hearts, okay? All right, so worship is one of them, John 14. I wanted to share a testimony about train tickets. When we travel in China, we usually stay on the rails. We buy train tickets. It's getting easier to buy them, but it used to be always difficult to buy the train tickets. It would take us days to buy a train ticket to the next town. You just couldn't get it done. It was just too difficult. They wouldn't sell it to you, or the trains were so full, there were no tickets left. So whenever I go to buy train tickets, I take some of the guys with me because I know it's going to be 3 or 4 hours standing in the train station. So here we are. One morning we said, well, we got to go try to buy train tickets today. And we're going to go down to the train station. So I asked some of the guys, I said, you want to go with me? And we can stand and just talk and fellowship on the way. And in the train station, we'll stand in there. So we went down to the train station, and there's this big long line in front of the little tiny window where you get the train tickets. And we stood in that line, and one of the guys on our team played a ukulele. You know, a little Hawaiian instrument, you know, a little Greshack type stuff. And so he took out his little ukulele right there. He brought it with him to the train station. I said, boy, that's something. He said, let me just take it out. And so we just sat there quietly. He was playing his ukulele, and we just started praising Jesus right in the line. Instead of 3 or 4 hours in the line, we were up at the window buying tickets in about 30 minutes. You see, when we worship God from our hearts, not only does he bless us, but he does things in the spirit realm to make an opening for the kingdom of God and for you and me. He makes openings. He does things in the spirit realm as we worship. So we were worshiping and we're up there to the tickets. Then I thought, okay, well, we got up here. Now we need to see if they'll sell them to us. Sure enough, the lady with a smile on her face sold us the tickets to the next town. And I went, that's really something. That went fast. Apparently, God did something with the worship. We went back, and the next morning, we were listening to God's voice. My sheep hear my voice, okay? So as we were listening to God's voice, the next morning, God spoke to us, and he said, hey, I want to thank you for worshiping me in the train station yesterday. This was a small town in the middle of China. And we said, oh, well, that's okay. We had a nice time worshiping you. And he said, no, I really want to thank you for that. We said, oh, okay, why are you thanking us for worshiping you? And this is what he said to us. He said, I want to thank you for worshiping me because you were the first people to lift up the name of Jesus on that piece of this planet. Do you know that there are a lot of places where the name of Jesus hasn't been lifted up? Now, when we heard that, we had a what we call a paradigm shift in our thinking. We said, well, if that's the case, then we need to worship. We need to worship more. And on that particular team, we worshiped as we were walking to lunch. We worshiped as we were walking back to the place we were staying. We worshiped on the buses. We worshiped in the taxis. We worshiped on the trains that we had bought the tickets for. We worshiped in the train stations. We worshiped in the restaurants. We worshiped everywhere because we said, if that's true, we're going to join with you, God, and we're going to lift up your name wherever we go. Now, that's something you and I can do right where we are here. We can worship God in the car, on the tractor, in the truck. We can worship him, okay, from our hearts. But I don't have a tape player. I don't have an MP3 player in my car. But just start singing. You sing the same chorus over and over. And then sing a new song, okay? Just worship God as you're driving. Me and my mom, we go through Columbus every time I'm home. And we have a little intersection there on the highways where we're praying and worshiping because Columbus is the intersection of the Pan-American Highway and the Trans-American Highway, 81 and 30. That's where it intersects. Important place for prayer. Important place, okay? So we spend a little time praying and worshiping just on the few of the intersections there around town. Significant things are happening in the spirit realm because of that. Okay, worship. Worship is important, so add that. This is going to be an impartation here because God's going to give you some creative ways to worship when we're done here. Okay, let's go. The Word. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Scriptures are very, very important for us. We need to be in the Word. Okay, it says in the Psalms that, your Word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What do you do with the Scriptures? Read it. Read it. Memorize it. Oh, well, Joe, I just can't memorize it. Here's one for you. Jesus wept. Everybody say that? You just memorized, if you could probably say that again, you just memorized John 11:35. Jesus wept. Okay, it's pretty simple. Sometimes we think it's bigger than it is. And part of that is not from God. But it's the enemy saying, you can't do this, you can't do this. Because the enemy, the spiritual forces, know the power of the Word of God. And they flee the power of the Word of God. So if you've got the Word in you, look out. Powers of darkness, they're pushed back. All right? So the Word. So you read it. Memorize it. Study it. Meditate on it. Okay, meditating on the Scriptures means, see, you have to memorize it before you can meditate on it. It means just going over it again and again in your mind. And God gives new insights into Bible verses as we meditate on it, as we think about it. You can do that driving down the road because you don't have to read going down the road. You got it memorized, and you just keep saying it to yourself, and God gives you new insights. Okay, we need to come up with new ways to get the Word in us, get the Word in us. I have downloaded some free Bibles from the internet, audio Bibles. Some are dramatized. Okay, audio Bibles from the internet, put them on an MP3 player, hook it up to some speakers, and it's running full blast. Well, it's not full blast, but it's running in my room where I sleep all the time. Here in the U.S. and in Hong Kong, I just, when I leave, like I'm here now, but in Hong Kong, I really turn it up loud when I leave the house. So it's just filling the house with scripture, filling the house with scripture. There's power in the word. It's quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So the scriptures are very, very important for us. I met a guy one time. I was took a little volunteer job, and I was teaching English in China, volunteer, okay, at the top of a restaurant, okay, restaurant hotel. Top floor is a restaurant. The manager wanted to fool around with learn some English. I said, yeah, great, I'll help you out. So I'd go there. I was going for an ulterior motive. I wanted to preach the gospel to the hotel managers, okay? Okay, but they wanted to learn some English, so I used that, and then I shared about Jesus with them. But at this group, I met a Buddhist, a practicing Buddhist, and his name was Stranger. That's his English name. I said, where'd you get that name? I don't know where he got it. But his name was Stranger. So Stranger rode the bus home with me because we went to the same part of town, the same part of the city. And he was a practicing Buddhist. He told me, he said, I'm a practicing Buddhist, but I like what you're saying. And after about two or three times of hearing the gospel, he said, you know, you got some book that I could maybe read and learn more about this Jesus you're talking about? I said, sure. So the next week, I brought him a New Testament, Matthew through Revelation. So just the New Testament. I gave it to him as a gift. I said, hey, here's a gift for you. I said, this is about Jesus. He said, okay, I'll read it. The next week we met at the English class. He looked at me and said, Joe, I got some questions about that book. I said, okay. We're riding the bus home. He's asking the questions. He said, I read that book this week. I said, the whole thing? He said, yeah. I said, okay. He said, I got a few questions. And he asked me the questions and I answered them. The next week he came to the English class Sunday night, and we shared a little bit with some people, and then he rode the bus home with me, and he said, Joe, I got a few more questions for you. I read that book again this week. I said, the whole thing? He said, yeah. He said, I read the whole book. I got a few more questions, so I answered his questions. Now, every week it's the same thing. Joe, I read that book again this week, and I would say, the whole thing? He said, yeah. One week he said, I've never read a book like this before. What is this? What is this book? And I said, Stranger, that book is truth. And you have a hunger and a desire for truth. And that's why you like it so much. Every week the same thing. Read the whole book. It gives new meaning to the question, did you read your Bible this week? Yeah, the whole thing. Okay, we got to be reading the word, you guys. Okay, this guy's a Buddhist, a practicing Buddhist. How many of you hang around with Buddhists? Okay, we should have a Buddhist friend, okay, you hang around with, okay? You can impact the Buddhist, your Buddhist friends. How many of you hang around with Muslims? We should have a Muslim friend that we hang around with, okay? Go out and drink some tea with them. Eat some Mediterranean food. How many of you have a Hindu friend? We should hang around with Hindus, okay? Hindus, whoa, man, you see you drink chai with them, you drink tea with them, and man, you can see the power of God released as you're sharing with them. Woo! Okay? They're very open to the power of God, okay? And so we need to have friends that we're sharing with regularly. Well, this stranger, I stopped teaching the English class, so I lost touch with him for a couple of months. But one day I got a call on my phone. He said, Joe, this is Stranger. I said, hi, Stranger. He said, I got a few more questions. Can I come out and talk to you? I said, come on out. So he came out to my house. And we're sitting there and we're talking, and he says, he's sitting on the edge of his chair. And he said, Joe, I have to ask you this question. What can I do for God? What can I do for God? And I thought, Okay, this is a practicing Buddhist. I haven't seen him for a couple of months. I need to get some stuff straightened out. I said, stranger, we need to talk about relationship with Jesus. He said, you mean the prayer in the book? I said, yeah. He said, I took care of that 2 weeks ago. I believe in Jesus. I set Buddhism aside. But I need to know what I can do for God. I said, isn't that amazing? Well, I got a list of things you can do for God. And I was ready to give stranger my list of things to do for God. And as I'm ready to give stranger my list of things to do for God, the Holy Spirit stopped me. He stopped me. He said, Joe, don't you dare give him your list of things to do. I said, God, I've waited for this. You said we're supposed to disciple all nations. I want to do this. I said, well, if I'm not supposed to do that, what should I tell him? And Jesus told me what to tell him, stranger. I said, okay, I'll tell him. Stranger is on the edge of his chair. He's like this. He's waiting for what he can do for God. I said, stranger, I'm going to tell you what you can do for God. Stranger looks at me and I look at him and I tell him what Jesus told me. I said, stranger, just spend a little time with Jesus every day. Stranger sits back in the chair. His shoulders drop. He relaxes and he says, I can do that. But he thought I was going to give him a big long list because he was a Buddhist. And that's what they do. They have lists of things to do and no relationship with Buddha. And what we push in Christianity is relationship with God. He's not a stranger to Jesus anymore, nor are we. And we can spend time with him listening to his voice and hearing him. He knows us. And then we follow him. You see, out of relationship with God comes ministry. It's not the other way. And sometimes we get it turned around. We think if we're in ministry, we'll have relationship with God. No, it's out of relationship with God comes ministry. That's stranger. Okay. Oop, we're running short of time here. Let's go to the next one. I'm not going to get through all 65 of these, or 365. Prayer. Prayer is the other one, and that's spending time with Jesus. Like I told stranger, prayer is just communication with God. It's just sitting down and talking to him and having him talk to us. We need the word. We need worship. But prayer is very important here. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. All the disciples come to Jesus. They come up to him all together. They have the same question. This is amazing that all of them have the same question in 11, verse 1. And they say, Lord, they don't say, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to dance. Lord, teach us to play sports. They don't say that. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. This is the one question that all the disciples have. Why do you suppose they ask that? They ask that because they're watching Jesus every day. See, they lived in a community of 12 disciples and Jesus. And then there was a bunch of people helping them, up to 72, up to 120. And they watched Jesus, and they were impacted by his life. And they saw that he set time aside to spend in prayer. Teach us to pray, just like John taught his disciples to pray. And it's really not a lot of teaching, but it's a lot of time. if you take time, if you say that, Jesus, teach me to pray. He will. It's conversation with God, hearing him, listening to him, following him. In your prayers, you can keep a book. You know, a lot of times we can probably all remember 1982 Orange Bowl, and we know the score and who we played. But we can't remember what God did in our lives last month. Oof. Okay. So keep a book. So I write down some of my prayer requests, keep a book, write them down, and then see when God answers them. Oh, wow. He answered that. Then write down the answer. Pretty simple. Keep a book. You can actually keep a page in your Bible for that. There's a group. Now, this is an unreached people group called the, it looks like she, but it's pronounced shuh. So the shuh. Okay, the Sha people. It's an unreached people group, a tribal group in China. About 1 million. About 1 million in this tribal group, but there's very few Christians. Hardly any Christians. The Sha people, though, are in a certain part of China. They love to sing and dance. If you go into their village, they, as a visitor, they come out and they sing and dance to you to welcome you to their village. They're not Christians. Very few Christians. I was just teaching in a training program this summer, and my translator, we're sitting here talking. I say, so where are you from? And they said, I'm from the southern part of this province. And I went, you're from the southern part of, there's a lot of minorities in that area. 20 years ago, I heard about the Sha people, and I started praying for them. This girl who was my translator is 22 years old. And I said, so who are you? Are you one of the minority people? The translator says, I'm a Sha person. I'm from the tribe, the Sha people, and I'm like the only Christian in my whole family. I said, I have to tell you something. For 20 years, I have been praying for the Sha people. I've been praying for you. I was praying for you right after you were born. The people in your tribe would come to know Jesus. The translator looked at me and said, well, I did. And I'm the only Christian in my family, but I'm sold out for Jesus. I'm sold out for Jesus. She told me, she said, you know, nobody knows about my tribe. I said, I do. And better than that, God does. He knows exactly that you were there. And he told me to start praying for you and your people, that many of you would come to Jesus. We're going to see more. There's 1 million Sha people, 1 million of them. That's bigger than Stromsburg. Okay. And there's 1 million of them. Very few of them know Jesus. But we could see a big movement, not only with this translator who came to Jesus, but others. The Sha people. And I thought, so write it down. I wouldn't, you know, I remembered it because the Sha people were very significant in my prayer life. But I wrote that down too. I'm praying for the Sha people. I'm praying for him. God, give us some breakthroughs. And he did. We're starting to see them come to Jesus. Okay, let's see the next one. See, prayer should be our first resource, not our last resort. That's why prayer is important for people with hungry hearts. Okay? Hungry hearts, hungry for God. Prayer is important. Conversation with God. You can bring everything to him. You can talk to God about everything. But it should be our first resort. Not when we get, well, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do now? Everything is wrong. Everything is bad. What do I do now? Well, I suppose you can pray. No, we should be praying first. First. You know that we can avoid a lot of the difficulties in our life if we pray first. Pray first. A first resource and our best resource and our greatest resource and our biggest resource is prayer. If we will take the time for prayer, God can alert us to things so that we avoid a lot of difficulties. And we don't need the last resort. Well, now what am I going to do? I've done everything else. Now I got to pray. Okay? That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the other way around. Pray first. You avoid a lot of the difficulties. First resource, not a last resort. Okay. What else we got? There's the three. All right, now we come to the impartation. Worship, the word, and prayer. I was just recently teaching in a training program inside China, and it was for evangelism. And these young Christians were all afraid of the approach. How do you go talk to people? How do you do it? How can you talk to people? What do I do when I get to walk up to someone? I said, well, I can give you a couple ideas, but I know that God is the creator of the universe, and I know that he's still creating. He has not quit, okay? And he's involved in our everyday lives, so he can give you creative ideas for approaching people. There was fear there, so we dealt with the fear, and I said, now you're going to get some creative ideas. And we prayed. This was a chuan di. It was an impartation of creativity, okay? Just an impartation. And they started coming up to people. We went out. Naturally, you can teach about evangelism, but you can't just teach about evangelism. You got to go do it, right? You do evangelism. That's what you do. We get our notebooks full of stuff, and we aren't applying it. So right during the week, I have a time where we go out and preach the gospel. You see, you drive a car, you ride a bicycle, but you preach the gospel. Yeah, the gospel is to be preached. So all these guys are so afraid. I said, okay, we'll deal with the fear. Now let's go out. They said, tonight? I said, yes, tonight. Where are we going to go? We're going to go down to the Riverwalk. This is in a Chinese town. The Riverwalk, and everybody comes out there. And so we were actually waiting on God and saying, God's going to give you some, maybe some people that you'll picture of a person in your mind that you're going to go talk to. Or he may give you an indication of some of the people that we're going to meet. So one of, it was actually me, I got a pink sweater, a pink jumpsuit. Okay, so remember that. And then we got quite a few other things too. So we went out on the Riverwalk to tell people about Jesus. I have never seen so many people in pink in my life. Men and women, all wearing pink, kids wearing pink, pink dresses, pink jumpsuits, pink shirts, pink sweaters. I said, how are we going to talk to all these people? I mean, there was thousands of people out there. And I thought, okay, it's not necessarily that we're going to talk to everybody in pink, but God is showing us that we're in the right place tonight. This is where we're supposed to be because there's so many people in pink. And we said, okay, let's pray and let's just start approaching people and talk to them. And they did. They came back after 2 hours and they said, I couldn't believe it. I walked up to somebody and God gave me a new idea. He gave me a new idea. So I used this idea and the conversation opened up and I had great conversations with people this evening. And all of them had powerful testimonies how they saw the creator of the universe give them creative ideas in just sharing God's love with others. Is that awesome? It was an impartation that God did. Okay, there's three impartations that God's going to give this morning. Okay, he's going to give new, and the overriding one is creativity. That's an impartation of creativity for worship. An impartation of creativity for the word, what you can do to get into the word more. And he's going to give you an impartation of creativity for prayer. Doesn't say in the Bible that we can pray in an airplane. Okay, but I pray in the airplane. It's that, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say pray in an airplane. The airplanes weren't there. So how can I do that? Can I even do that? Yeah, because it says pray without ceasing, right? Okay, doesn't say pray in an airplane. Didn't say go into China, but that's where I went. Doesn't say live in Hong Kong, but it does say go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, so we take the principles. We take the principles, and God gives us creative ideas to apply them to our life. So the chuan di is in creativity for these three areas. Are you guys ready? How much does a chuan di cost? How much does an impartation cost? How much? Yes, it's free. Okay, say that with me. It's free. All right. But what will happen is you will see a change. You will see a change from today on. God's going to give you new creative ideas in worship, new creative ideas in the Word, new creative ideas in prayer. Ooh, are you ready for this? Okay, do you want this? Or why don't we stand up, and I'll just ask the Lord to impart that to you. And if you don't mind, part of the impartation comes from me being here, but I'm just going to move around. We're a small enough group. I'm just going to touch your head as we impart that. Is that all right? All right, come Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And Lord, we ask for this impartation, this Chuan Di, a new impartation of creativity for worship, for the Word, for prayer, new creativity, Lord. Thank you, Lord. An impartation. Lord, it's free. It's free. Can't buy this one. You can't afford this one. That's why you made it free. It's free in Jesus' name. He's setting us free. He's bringing freedom and new creativity. New creativity in Jesus' name. New creativity, the Word, worship, and prayer. How to squeeze a few minutes of prayer. How to squeeze a few more minutes of worship. How to squeeze time from our day. There'll be no wasted time, but time will be valuable, fruitful. Fruitful impartation of creativity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we receive that from you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you are all-powerful. And this creativity, this impartation of creativity in the Word, in worship, and in prayer, will start today. Thank you, Father. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Were you blessed? I just want to give a testimony. This will bless Joe, because I've been asking for that for a long time. You know, what do you usually do when you greet somebody right away in the morning? What's the first thing you say? Yeah, and? How are you? Well, the Lord said, say this. How am I? Well, this is what I say. If God made the day, I'm happy about it. And I just smile at it. And people are blown away by that. That's my little way that God gave me to be creative in answers to what we normally say, how are you? And most people aren't doing very good when they say, oh, I'm fine. No, you're not. Especially if you're lost. So I agree with that totally. So praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and bless you and magnify you. We give you the glory, the honor, the power, the dominion, the majesty forever and ever. Everybody shout amen. Amen. Go and do it. Amen. And love the Lord.